This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We've got a very happy Michael Cohen producing today. We're going to be talking. I don't know why. Maybe. It might be something about the basketball game last night. We're going to talk about the Knicks' incredible comeback today. We've got two awesome guests today. Ian Cameron's going to join us. Talk a little Stanley Cup Final, Game 5. Kind of forgotten that. Hey, this is an amazing series in its own right there. Alex Crook is going to join us at the end of the show to preview the World Cup. That starts today. Happy World Cup Day, everybody. We got some Thursday bets as well. It's an 8-game slate on the baseball docket there as well. Mixing up the order on that. Baseball is going to be in the third segment today for that one there. As always, you can catch us. Thanks for watching live if you're joining us right now, but you can also catch us in podcast form. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Okay, Nick, I've stalled long enough. We got to talk about this incredible comeback by the Knicks. 29 points down, they come back to win the game. My phone was blowing up all second half there. Incredible finish. In fact, first half is blowing up in a different way, but what an incredible finish.
I don't even know where to begin, Jeff. I went to bed last night, just excited to do the show today to talk about this. I woke up excited and have been just frantically pulling together as many notes and as many wild stats as I can find all morning. I mean, I don't even know where to start here. Like you said, the Knicks were down 29 early in the third quarter. They trailed by 27 at the half and obviously rallied back and won this game. Every single other team that trailed by at least 20 at halftime in an NBA Finals game, Jeff, ended up not only losing the game by double digits. Like, there is no precedent for a comeback like this on this stage in the NBA. Obviously, the Spurs played about as well as they possibly could have in the first half. They set the NBA record for most threes in a half with 14. They put up 1.63 points per possession in the first half of Game 4, which is extremely good. That was their second best in any half this year, and they were a very good offense. 0.69 points per possession in the second half. Their single worst half, first or second, in any game this year. You will not see a more dramatic first half versus second half split than we saw from San Antonio last night. You know, to me, Jeff, watching this comeback happen, it really wasn't until midway through the fourth quarter where I truly started to think, oh boy, we might be watching something special. The Knicks might actually pull this off, because it's not like New York went on some, you know, 20-0 run and all of a sudden this 27-point deficit was down to 7. Like, it was kind of a slow bleed out by San Antonio. You know, all these 3-point misses, they were, what, 3 of 17 from beyond the arc in the second half. You know, they didn't really seem that consequential at the time. You're like, oh, that's a good look by Champagne. All right, you got to take that, whatever. Yeah. Okay, it's down to 17. It's down to 15. All of a sudden, you look up and, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is splashing a contested step back three from the wing. Like, this is an 11-point game. This is a 7-point game. And then we'll get into this, Jeff, but some of the plays down the stretch, you know, that's really where San Antonio ended up giving up this game.
100%. And, you know, it was interesting because I think it did start in the third quarter. I think it was a heat check. I think they were so hot in the first half, they just thought they couldn't miss. I think their offense ground to a halt in the third quarter there. And I think that's where it started. Because the Knicks weren't totally on fire yet in the third quarter, they did cut down on that lead, but the Spurs did nothing offensively. He scored 14 points in the third quarter. You mentioned Champagne, and he missed some open looks, but he's 1 for 7 from three. Wemby was 2 for 8 from three. And the thing is, at one point, they were 11 of 16 for three. They went 6 for 27 the rest of the way from there. I think they just too much reliance on that. Not enough half-court offense. I think their half-court offense just ground to a halt in this game. And that does worry me about going forward, too. I think experience did play a big role in this one here. Knowing, you know, how to kind of pace yourself when you've got that, you got a heater going like this here. We saw the Knicks kind of go through this the last 2 years, 3 years really, and their playoff runs, and they went through it there. They kept the core together. They changed the coach, obviously, but they didn't like do an overhaul of the team. They didn't say, all right, we're done. Screw this. We can't do this anymore. They stuck with it. And I thought that was a big aspect of that as well. They were just searching for solutions at one point in time. And like you said, fourth string center was coming in. You know, they had some foul issues. They had some other issues going on in the first half. They were just trying to find a formula that worked. But it did. And it was really incredible. So many things to point out here, Nick. I'll let you keep going because there's other things. And I know you've got a lot more observations.
Yeah, well, going into the half, if you were watching the game, you know, I think it was Richard Jefferson on the broadcast said, you know these New York Knicks, they're not going to give up. They're going to keep fighting. We saw this, in game one of the Cleveland series. And, so I was watching the game in my backyard, moved the TV out. And at that point, I am moving inside. So I'm like, all right, I'm still going to watch it. I'll probably just pull it up on the iPad, but this is going to be a blowout. And I remember Richard Jefferson saying that and me thinking like, well, he kind of has to say that as a broadcaster. But there was no momentum whatsoever for the New York Knicks. Like, not only did the Spurs shoot the lights out in the first half, but the Knicks were back to committing bad turnovers. There was no energy. You had multiple guys in foul trouble. Like, felt like literally no one on the New York Knicks played well in the first half. There was just nothing to draw from that would, make you believe that we would see a better effort in the second half, other than just the argument that you can't play that bad for another 24 minutes. Like you said, they had to go to their fourth string center in the first quarter. Not only did we see Ariel Hakpourty, we saw Jeremy Sochan, because Mitchell Robinson couldn't really do anything. He was terrible in this game. Karl Anthony Towns had the early foul trouble. And despite all of that, the Knicks end up rallying back. We'll get into De'Aaron Fox in a moment, Jeff, but no one should be exhaling harder this morning than Josh Hart, who would have been on the hook, I think, in a lot of ways for this loss. A couple just all-timers in the final minutes. He blew a layup, just the classic, do I dunk it, do I lay it up? That would have given the Knicks their first lead. He robbed us of what would have been maybe the greatest crowd pop in MSG history if he had dunked that ball. He then missed the box out. That gave Stephon Castle two free throws, enabled San Antonio to take the lead back. He was also the guy on what I believe was the most important play of the game, Jeff, and that was with 1.2 seconds left. The Spurs, after the Anunoby hand of God tip-in, they still have a chance here, especially with Victor Wembanyama on the court. You never know what you could draw up from a sideline out of bounds. They use Wembanyama as a screener. They had Stephon Castle running wide open to the rim. It was Josh Hart who got caught on that screen. And Karl Anthony Towns getting a fingertip on that Dylan Harper inbounds pass, that saved the New York Knicks. If that's even remotely on target, that's an easy lay-in for Stephon Castle.
And just imagine what a gut punch that would have felt like, too. 100%. Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought that was a hugely important play. Two other things I'll mention. The Spurs, I mean, obviously Wemby misses those two free throws. They went 17 of 20 from the line. So they missed one other free throw the entire game. You know, that's remarkable. Yeah. They should have still pulled that off despite that there. And I think we need to have the dialogue on De'Aaron Fox and that play at the end of the game.
We will do that in just a moment. But first, because I want to make sure we get this in, or we're going to miss it, Jeff. Do you want to bet smarter? You need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Check out rotowire.com right now and use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at checkout, 15% off anything we offer at RotoWire. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Definitely check out the Smart Money tool. Check out all of our World Cup coverage as well. We had our guy Adam Zdrojek on the show yesterday. He's heading up some fantastic coverage for us over at rotowire.com. So if Josh Hart was going to be the GOAT, if the Knicks lost this game, I think we have our GOAT on the other side. That is De'Aaron Fox. If you've been on Twitter at all over the last like 12 hours, it's just been a kind of a collection of De'Aaron Fox gaffes down the stretch. I mean, the decision obviously to go for the layup on OG Anunoby, all-time bad decision. Had some brutal turnovers, some bad shots down the stretch, some pull-up threes that did not need to be taken. Fouling Jose Alvarado at half court after the missed layup. I know they had a foul to give in that situation, but that was almost a backcourt violation. It's kind of a scramble drill. Like, I don't know why you're intentionally fouling there. Wembanyama and Fox together, Jeff, were 5 of 22 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3 in the second half. Wembanyama, by the way, 4 of 18 after that dust up with Mitchell Robinson in the first half. He missed the two free throws, as you mentioned. And I mean, that was at the 147 mark. That would have put the Spurs up 3. It was right after Josh Hart blew that layup, and then Brunson, of course, hits that go-ahead floater on the next possession. I don't know what to say. You know, you don't really want to pile on too much. I think everything that can be said about De'Aaron Fox down the stretch has already been put out there. But even if he was fouled on that layup attempt, which if you watch it in slow motion, it did look like a lot of wrist there by Anunoby. Mm-hmm. I know this series has been called strangely. I know the Knicks fans are not happy with the referees for the most part, but you just can't expect to get that call in that situation.
No, you can't. And you also, you don't have to shoot. You have the lead. I think you have to have that knowledge of the game. You have to take it to the corner. take those 2 extra seconds off. You still get he's a good free throw shooter. He tried to avoid taking the free throws in game 3 too. Don't forget that. Remember, he passed, he avoided a situation where he should have been taking the free throws. Luckily, Castle nailed them both. Castle's just been a stud. He is ice cold. Oh, I mean, his veins are ice cold. I mean, he's so studly as far as that goes. But yeah, there's something there. He just didn't have that. Some of this is experience in late game situations. You're not getting that in Sacramento in the playoffs. You're not getting that there. All these younger players, but somehow Castle doesn't seem to be as unnerved by that. I think that was a big aspect. Experience does matter. It does matter a little bit there. I'm going to join the narrative train and jump off the analytics train for a half a second just to say that the experience that the Knicks have had accumulated over the years, I think that all came into play here a little bit there. And I think that does really matter quite a bit. You got 30 seconds left here, Nick. What game 5 adjustment can the Spurs make here to bounce back?
Well, they're 5.5-point favorites, so I think the expectation is that, you know, maybe the series doesn't end in San Antonio, but this is as big of a gut punch as we've ever seen. Really the only comparison that comes to mind for me would be the 28-3 Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl. I think kind of a similar comeback in a lot of ways, where it's just that slow bleed out, and then all of a sudden you look up, you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to lose this game. It's going to be tough, man, but I will say this. If the Spurs turn around, they win at home, the pressure's back on the Knicks, all of a sudden they have to win Game 6 at MSG, or you're going on the road for a Game 7. So plenty more discussion of what we'll expect to see in Game 5 on tomorrow's show. But we got a lot to get to over the next 45 minutes. We got Ian Cameron joining us to talk some Stanley Cup Finals when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN. Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels almost too good to be true. First, we got to give credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and our top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets too. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99, or better yet, save big with promo code POD26, that's POD26, on an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right. Now back to the show.
Network. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. As always, thanks for tuning in if you're streaming live with us or if you're catching in wherever you pick up your podcast. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our friend Ian Cameron. He is host of the Ice Guys podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Bobano Bets. Is that how we pronounce it? Ian, thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing?
Bobano Bets is fine. Good to be with you guys. How are you today? Things good?
Doing well. We're buzzing off of the incredible game 4. We got 4 walk-off wins in baseball yesterday, wild day in sports. And meanwhile, Stanley Cup Finals have been incredible. We're in game 5, two games apiece. Do you have a Conn Smythe future winner ticket before the series started? And how is that doing?
Well, I had Logan Stankoven and Mitch Marner, respectively. So I feel like I'm in decent shape. But yet here's Jordan Staal, you know, who has been amazing in these Stanley Cup Finals, who we're going to talk about when we preview Game 5 tonight, that has now scored in 4 straight games, that has been an absolute terror in this series. And the Vegas Golden Knights are finding that out firsthand. He's thrown himself into the conversation, I think, for the Conn Smythe if Carolina is able to win this series and win the Stanley Cup. But I think that's what you're looking at. I think for Vegas, it's going to be very difficult for anyone other than Mitch Marner, you know, at this point to win the Conn Smythe trophy. But I think for Carolina, you can make a case for Logan Stankoven. If Jackson Blake and Taylor Hall have a big final 2 or 3 games of this series and they win the cup, I don't think they're totally out of the running. And obviously Jordan Staal is in the mix now with the great final he's had, game goals in four straight games. So like I said, I think the pathway is clearer for Vegas. If they win it, it's Mitch Marner. If Carolina wins it, I think there's still a few players that could still be a Conn Smythe winner.
So, Ian, before we get into what is a pretty robust card that I know you have for Game 5 tonight, is there anything you would play right now in terms of some of the series props that you could still jump on? Series spread, total games, correct score, some of the exact markets, anything catching your eye there?
What I would say to that is if I've already, you know, one of the things I like to do in the playoffs is, and this goes for the NBA too, if I think the series is going to be long and competitive, what I'll do is I'll bet six games and seven games, series to go 6-7. They're both plus money. If as long as it goes six games, it'll be profit. And I'll also take both teams to win exactly correct score 4-2 and 4-3. And if you hit one of those, it's going to be profit. So that's what I did with Vegas, Carolina. I just felt even though Carolina rolled through Montreal, Philly, and Ottawa the first three rounds, I thought Vegas was going to be a much taller opponent, tougher opponent for them, taller task, that it would be a long competitive series. So we were able to cash that. As far as right now, I would say if you like the Vegas, I think Vegas in seven, like if you're looking for an exact series result, I could see it being a Vegas in seven because the team that lost the previous game has won the next game every time so far in this series. And I'm going to mention it. These two teams have not just been good. They've been absolutely spectacular off a loss this season and especially here in the playoffs. So, you know, a Vegas in seven outcome wouldn't shock me.
And home ice is, you know, both teams have incredible home fan bases and home ice, but home ice has not been an advantage in this series. And, you know, Vegas really, you know, had the lead a lot in game two, even when they lost that one here. To that end, for game five, do you like the Golden Knights money line tonight at +135?
I do. And it's been a close series. And I think the ability to get Vegas in that +135 range on the money line and what's been a very close series and what's been a very back and forth series. I mean, I don't know how anyone would feel comfortable, and I would if the price was flipped around and Vegas was a -160 favorite here tonight, I don't know how anyone would be comfortable laying -160 with any team in this series. I mean, it's just been that close. It's been that tight. No lead has been safe. We've seen Vegas come back from deficits. We've seen Carolina come back from deficits throughout the series. It's been a crazy series in that Vegas has dominated the second period and outscored Carolina, I believe, 9-1. And yet Carolina has outscored Vegas 10-3 in the third period in this series. And the third period for most of the season was a dominant period for Vegas. They had been a great third period team all season long. So if you're looking at individual period markets, it may not be the worst idea in the world to look Vegas second period money line or Carolina third period money line if you can get in on that, because there is no doubt Vegas has been the dominant second period team, Carolina the dominant third period team. In this series. As far as the game goes tonight, I think the value's on Vegas. They've only lost two games in a row one single time in these playoffs, and you have to go all the way back to the Utah Mammoth in the first round to see that happen. They've been a good bounce-back team. They're capable of winning on the road. In fact, they have played very well on the road in the last couple rounds here in the playoffs. So I'm on the Golden Knights. I mean, it just seems like one of those back-and-forth series, and the team that has lost the previous games had an ability to bounce back and play much better in the next game.
We'll get all of Ian's props for Game 5 in just a moment, but got a message from our friends over at sport.fun. Every week, we sit here, we break down the players, we call the shots, we tell you who's going to ball out this summer, and every week, a bunch of you are in the replies, absolutely convinced you could do better. Fair enough, but here's your chance to prove it. Today's episode is brought to you by sport.fun, a free-to-play fantasy game built around the upcoming summer tournament. Pick the players you think are going to deliver, draft your squad, join leagues, and compete for a share of over $30,000 in prizes. 30K, free to play, no catch. And if you really want to back yourself, there's a pro version where you can play with real cash. Same game, just higher stakes. We've actually set up an official RotoWire league on the free side of the contest. You can go head-to-head with us and the rest of the listeners and settle this once and for all. Sign up at football.fun. Join that RotoWire league and back yourself. Think you could call it better than us? Now's your chance to prove it. Terms and conditions apply. Again, go sign up over at sport.fun. Ian Cameron, host of the Ice Guys podcast, joining us via the Progressive guest line. So let's dive a little bit deeper, Ian, into your card for Game 5. I see you are sprinkle in on a number of these plus money goal scorer props.
Yes, and if anyone watches the Ice Guys NHL Hockey Betting Show that I host, you'll know that I'm very big on looking at the plus prices with goal props with value. And usually the criteria for me is players that move up the lineup to a top line or a second line role, and that's not accounted for often. And there's very little, if any, price adjustment when you see that. We've seen that many times throughout the season and been able to capitalize and really just ride in the hot streaks that players go on. And that certainly fits the criteria of a couple of the props that I liked for this game tonight here in Game 5. Brett Howden, you know, among the leading goal scorers in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far, and to be able to still get plus 270 for Brett Howden of the Vegas Golden Knights to score tonight, I think that's a price you got to take with just how excellent he's been offensively. Wild Bill, as they call him, William Karlsson for the Vegas Golden Knights, since they got him back in the second round of the playoffs, he has been a factor. He's very good defensively, but I think people lose sight of what he's capable of offensively sometimes. He's gone over 1.5 shots in a lot of games recently. In fact, 4 of the last 5, he's gone over 1.5 shots on goal. You only have to lay minus 118. I think that's a good look. And obviously, if he's going to be shooting the puck, sprinkling on the plus 470 goal prop for William Karlsson makes sense. I always do the jingle when I talk Ivan Barbashev, the Barbasol commercial, close shave Barbashev. Ivan Barbashev for the Vegas Golden Knights, plus 380. He has been very, very good, consistent. I think in a series like this that's been very physical, he doesn't mind playing that style of hockey, plus 380 with Ivan Barbashev to score. He's already scored in this series previously, so that's a good price as well. Shifting to the Carolina props, is there a player for the Carolina Hurricanes any more red hot right now than the captain, Jordan Staal? He's been absolutely spectacular. Another great game for him the other night with a couple of goals. Over 1.5 shots has just kept on cashing for Jordan Staal with very little adjustment. And again, with this prop, you're still getting minus 140 on it. And it's been a great bet. It's cashed in 5 straight. Jordan Staal over 1.5 shots. He scored a goal in 4 straight games. So to be able to get as high as plus 400 at some books with Jordan Staal to score a goal, was an absolute no-brainer to bet that price for him to find the back of the net once again. And Jordan Martinook has been placed on the top line the last couple games by Rod Brind'Amour with Aho and Svechnikov. So he didn't get on the score sheet in Game 4, but there's still great value considering he's been elevated to the top line for Carolina. So Jordan Martinook over 1.5 shots on goal, minus 110, and a sprinkle on him to score at plus 575 with him playing on those top line minutes. Great value for sure.
Yeah, I need they got 30 seconds. Quick response on the Kings hiring Peter Laviolette as their coach.
Yeah, I know Peter Laviolette. He's got more lives than a cat at this point in his career. He coached so many teams, Islanders, Rangers, Hurricanes, Predators. You lose track of how many teams he's coached. He's been a good coach, but he seems to have a good first year, and then things kind of fall off after that. It's a recycled coach. I'd like to see them maybe hire a more younger, progressive coach at this stage, the LA Kings. But, you know, I don't hate the hire, but it wouldn't be the top of my list as far as choices.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. Ian, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. You can follow Ian at Bobano Bets and listen to the Ice Guys podcast. And talk baseball bets coming up here on Prop Points.
Network. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We'll have some World Cup talk coming your way to conclude the show. We are about, an hour and a half from the first game of the World Cup kicking off. Kind of a weird baseball slate today, Jeff. We have 8 games in total, heavy on the afternoon slate, 3 games in action right now. Marlins just took a 1-0 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was Xavier Edwards with a sacrifice fly. So we're heading to the top of the second down in Miami. Riley Green has an RBI on a sac fly for the Detroit Tigers. They lead the Twins 1-0 in the top of the second. Mets up 3-2 on the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals just put another run on the board. We have four home runs already in this game,
yeah.
Jeff. It was Lars Nootbaar with a homer in the top of the second. That came after Jared Young, after Bo Bichette, after Alec Burleson all put home runs on the board in the first inning. So off and running with three in-progress games in Major League Baseball. Because we have the smaller slate, Jeff, we have some latitude here to talk about some big news on the pitching side of things, including Tarik Skubal. Speaking of the Tigers, set to make his return on Saturday in Cleveland. Hasn't pitched since the end of April. This Tigers team quietly won six of their last eight. They're still 5.5 games out in the AL wildcard, but very good news seeing Tarik Skubal back on the hill, whether that means boosting his trade value or trying to get this thing back on the rails as we get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun to see this coming back. If you have him, obviously you had to anticipate that starting him this week, and knowing he was projected to start, I have him active in the lineup where I do have Tarik Skubal. The thing that's going to be interesting to me is like, how good does he look over this next month? Because as you alluded to, it's a good time to have been off to a bad start in the American League. Everything's still gettable. 5.5 games is gettable. It's a lot of teams to leapfrog, but say they cut that down in half. Even they cut that deficit to like their 2.5 games out of the wild card. They're probably not selling at the trade deadline. If they are selling at the trade deadline, keep in mind it's a guy that's coming back from this an arm injury. He's coming after a unique trial medical procedure here going into his free agent season. James Anderson and I were talking about this on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show today, because in comparing it to the CC Sabathia trade in terms of all-time great rental deals there, it could have that sort of impact there. But our team's going to – what sort of prospects are the teams giving up? You're not going to get the Juan Soto deal that the Nats got from the Padres, for instance, there. You're just not going to get that sort of prospect return. But it'll be interesting to see if they can do that there. Very interested to see what they do going forward. Fascinating divisional race.
I could tell you here in Milwaukee, this has been a big topic of debate. Should the Brewers throw their hat in the ring for Tarik Skubal? And certainly they have the prospect cachet to do it. But
yeah.
I think this is a little bit different for a team like Milwaukee versus, let's say, I don't know, the Yankees or the Dodgers. They want to trade for Skubal. It could be one of those trades that you see, you know, specifically in the NBA, where it's a, all right, we're trading for you, but we also have a pretty good idea that you're going to re-sign with us, so maybe we'd be willing to give up a little bit more. Like with Milwaukee, that's just not going to be the case. It would be a very clear rental. That's where you get the CC Sabathia comp. But I'm glad that we're going to get a window here to observe what Skubal looks like, because let's say he didn't come back until late June or early July, and you have to make that decision on like, all right, we're basically trading for a guy who's injured. We don't really know what he's going to look like. We know what the peak production can look like. I would have a really tough time if I'm the Brewers parting ways with multiple top prospects, given the injury risk. Like if Skubal was totally healthy, if he was cooking, if he was running away with the AL Cy Young, then yeah, I'm on board with that. But I think there's a little too much risk for me if I'm Milwaukee to put some of those prospects on the table, knowing what we know now. But we'll see what Skubal looks like. On the other hand, Jeff, we have negative pitching news for Garrett Crochet. He's been battling a lat strain. It is, quote, a lot worse than the Red Sox initially thought.
Yeah, no timetable for him to begin throwing again. He looked like he was possibly projected to return fairly soon, had that lat strain, and it's not just a little hiccup. It's going to be out a long term here, which puts us into the question, what do you do with the Red Sox now? He was going to be this big bump for this team here to get him back, and now he may not pitch the rest of this year. They're locked into him long term. Remember, he signed the extension last year. It worked out last year. They stretched him out. He threw a lot more innings than he's ever thrown before, and now you're paying the price a little bit. You know, there's always that push and pull. Add more velocity, get more success, get that long-term contract, but also increase the risk of getting hurt. That's why I'm worried, scared to death of Jacob Mizorowski with the Brewers here for that matter too. But the payoff was worth it. He got that long-term deal. Was it worth it for the team? Maybe not, but teams are always pushing players to get that added velocity. They too are valuing that. So when you look at that there, it's like, okay, team, they've made that concerted decision. Hey, it's worth it. So the question now is, are the Red Sox sellers at the trade deadline? They're 27-39. They're 5.5 games out in the wild card, same as the Tigers, but they're also 13.5 games out in the AL East. You know, I picked Boston to win the AL pennant, so I'm feeling like donning the jester's motley here on this one here. But, you know, who could they trade? They could trade Sonny Gray. They could trade Aroldis Chapman, maybe an outfielder as well.
It's a almost impossible spot to be in if you're the Red Sox. Like, you'd almost wish, I think, that there was a bigger gap and make that decision easier, yeah. Right? It's like, could somebody just, like, run away a little bit in the American League so we don't have to look up and say, okay, we have the second worst record in the AL, and yet somehow we're just 5.5 out in the wild card race. But this feels like a crushing blow. This feels like a pretty good chance to me that we don't see Garrett Crochet again until very late in the season at best. Talk a little more baseball in just a moment, but whether you're tuned into basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever it may be, this time of year, the action is nonstop, and Polymarket lets you cash out before the final buzzer. Unlike your typical sports book, where you're locked in the second you place your bet, Polymarket gives you control of your position the whole way through. See the game shifting? You can lock in your edge early. Get started with a free $50 using the promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, over at Polymarket. Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. We do have an update, Jeff. Yet another home run in this Cardinals-Mets game. Now 4-3 St. Louis. We are at the top of the second inning. There's one out, and we've already had five homers in this game. Jimmy Crooks, the latest, two-run shot, scoring Mason Winn. So 4-3 Cardinals, again, in the top of the second. One runner on second right now with one out. Before we run through your plays for today's slate, Jeff, I know you have some thoughts on what was a wild, wild day in baseball that unfortunately got a little bit overshadowed by what happened in the NBA Finals last night.
Yeah, absolutely. We had, you know, we want to talk about all-time comebacks. What's more statistically likely? Set aside the gravity of the game, but the Knicks comeback down 29 points, down at, 25 in the third quarter, or the Giants coming back from down 9-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning and winning 11-10 on a walk-off grand slam by Bryce Eldridge. I think it's the latter, but I'm context clues matter here too, obviously, because it's the Nats' awful bullpen. But still, that was a bad beat on my Nationals money line that I gave out yesterday. I thought, oh, this one's in the bag. I got my first one right. Not so much.
I would have to look at what the live money lines were on each of these. I think the baseball one is probably a little more unlikely given the stage of the game, that the comeback didn't start really until the eighth inning. But like you said, the Nationals being involved in this makes a lot of sense. If you were like, hey, which team is going to allow nine runs over an inning and a half, I would probably say, yeah, it's probably the Washington Nationals. So either way, two all-time comebacks. Fernando Tatis, of course, with a big hit, his second homer of the year to walk off the Cincinnati Reds as well. All right, Jeff, we got a couple minutes here to run through some of your baseball plays. Rangers Royals coming our way. It's going to start just after our show, 2:10 p.m. Eastern. Kumar Rocker or Michael Wacha on the hill.
Yep. This one's going to be a fun one here because the wind's going to be blowing out. Our weather report suggests that it's going to be up to 20 miles an hour blowing out. The total in this game is 10.5. A couple of pitchers that are slightly flammable in Kumar Rocker and Michael Wacha to begin with. I want to focus on Jack Caglione. He is on fire right now. He's on a big heater. And the thing I like about him is not only did he have two homers on Monday, went 4-for-5 last night, the exit velocity is up to 94.4 miles an hour. 90 is considered good. 92 is considered elite. We're in Jordan Walker territory in terms of the exit velocity on Jack Caglione. I'm going to ride that train again today. Going to take the over on total bases at 2.5. This is an alt line. The actual line's 1.5. I'm going 2.5 plus 191 at DK. If you want the 1.5, it's minus 101 there. So it's still a pretty decent price, and it's a little bit of a safer play.
The Chicago Cubs continue to struggle. They're having trouble with the Rockies out in Denver. We'll get the concluding game of that series this afternoon. Edward Cabrera taking on Ryan Feltner. What do you like in Cubs-Rockies?
I like Hunter Goodman. The RotoWire Smart Money play of the day is Hunter Goodman on a stolen base, plus 1140 at DK. But check your jurisdictions wherever you can play, because there's other books that might have a better price. Smart Money has found detected a lot of action in some alternate books there, even higher odds. I'm also going to take the over on Edward Cabrera earned runs allowed, over 2.5, minus 129. Allowed 8 runs, 3 homers last time out, but it's not just the last time out. 11 homers over his last 7 starts.
No, you're also looking at the Pirates team total under 3.5 at home for the Dodgers later tonight as well. That is Justin Wroblewski going up against Mitch Keller. We're going to head to one final break. When we come back, we are under 90 minutes away from the first match of the World Cup. Alex Crook from TalkSport, their chief football correspondent, he'll be stopping by the show with his preview, his favorite plays as the World Cup begins later this afternoon. More prop points coming your way next.
Subscribe.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The World Cup starts in less than 90 minutes. Mexico, South Africa, super excited about that. Joining us now is Alex Crook. He is the Talk Sport chief football correspondent, World Cup commentator. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex_Crook. Alex, thank you for spending so much time with us today. I know it's a mega busy day for you, so really happy you could spend some time with us.
Yeah, no problem at all. As you say, it's building up now, isn't it? We're so close to that opening game of the World Cup, the host Mexico in action. I think once this first game gets out of the way, and particularly once the US play their first game against Paraguay over the weekend, World Cup fever, I think, is really going to start to grip this part of the world.
I think so, too. I'm excited about this. Let's talk Mexico and South Africa. Let's talk about Mexico's group. I thought they drew well. I thought that they have a winnable group, a pretty winnable group. And it's been a tumultuous 4 years for them. But I think they're set up pretty well, at least to get into the knockout rounds.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a perfect starting fixture for the host. The only host nation that have ever lost the first game of a World Cup was Qatar 4 years ago. So I don't expect Mexico to join that very elite group of teams. I think they've got the quality to get past a not brilliant South African side, to say the very least. I worry a little bit about where their goals are coming from. Raul Jimenez, I think, will probably lead the line up front. He wasn't playing week in, week out for Fulham in the Premier League. In fact, he just completed a move back to the second tier in England, back to his former club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. But they've got some technically gifted players, and I think they're really dangerous from set pieces as well. I think set pieces, by the way, could play a bigger part in this World Cup than maybe ever before.
Alex, anything you're looking for on the prop side of things for this Mexico-South Africa game? Anything maybe in the goal-scoring market?
Yeah, I've gone with quite a big price first goal scorer to get the first goal, not just of this game, but of course the World Cup as well. I've gone for the Mexican centre-back Montez. He is a real threat from set pieces, really powerful in the air, has an eye for goal. You can back him around about 20-1 to be the first scorer of the World Cup, and I think that's a really good price.
Overall, in this tournament, there's been a lot of buzz in the last maybe week or so talking about the climate, talking about the European teams coming over, playing in warmer weather, having the long travel, playing in this hemisphere, playing in this, on this continent as well. There's a long history of European teams struggling there. How big of a factor do you think that will be?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I stepped off the plane at Dallas Airport yesterday and was hit by 40-degree heat, I thought it could be a massive problem. It was a big issue for me just walking off the runway into the terminal building. So, yeah, I do think it's going to be a huge factor. There's a reason that Germany are the only side from Europe ever to win a World Cup in the Americas. Having said that, I look at the teams at the top of the betting, and I said this when I was last on this programme, I do think the European teams have more quality. I do think France and Spain and Portugal and maybe even my own England are better than Brazil and Argentina. So I guess it just depends how much of a leveler the conditions will be. I mentioned that I'm here in Dallas. That's where England kick off their World Cup campaign next midweek. But they're playing in the stadium, which is air-conditioned, so that will help them. And I think their opponents will help as well, because Croatia have a lot of veteran players in their team, so that's not going to be a particularly fast-paced game, and that might just help England acclimatise.
So, Alex, we know the World Cup is not an event where historically, you know, it's worth it to look into long shots to actually win the tournament. So is there any team that you would look at outside of what I would say are the big six that ends with Argentina? They're plus 950 over at DraftKings to win the World Cup. Like, where's the cutoff for you where you say, OK, no team below this level can actually win this thing?
Well, looking at the odds in front of me, I would probably say you can't look below the Netherlands. And actually, at the prices there, 20-1, the Netherlands. I was talking about this with one of my colleagues at TalkSport last night. Defensively, they've got one of the best back lines in the tournament when you look at the likes of Virgil van Dijk, Mickey van der Ven at Tottenham. Huge talent, Denzel Dumfries, who I think is going to get a big money move in this transfer window. Then even Jan-Paul Van Hecke, who Brighton have put a £70 million price tag on his head as Tottenham show interest. So I think defensively, they're going to be really resolute. They've got Nathan Ake as well, who's a serial winner over in England. So I think at 20-1, I wouldn't rule out the Netherlands. In terms of real dark horses, I do quite fancy the likes of Japan and Turkey to go deep into the draw, but not really challenge in terms of, you know, when it comes to those semi-finals and final.
Conversely, is there a top six team you want to fade, whether it's Spain, France, England, Portugal, Brazil, or Argentina, that you think is slightly overrated or maybe greatly overrated?
I think the two South American sides, obviously the defending champions, Argentina, I feel like they had their moment 4 years ago. It was Messi's World Cup. It was a brilliant prelude to his career, but I don't think they've got the talent to go back to back. Very few teams do retain the World Cup. I think it's only happened twice in the history of the competition. And Brazil, now I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I've described Igor Thiago, the Brentford striker, as the best worst striker that I've ever seen, and that he gets a lot of goals, but I just don't think he's technically very gifted. And you look at past Brazilian sides, you know, the likes of Romario, Bebeto, who obviously played a big part when they won the World Cup last time it was on American soil in 1994, R9. You can't compare Igor Thiago. So I wouldn't worry about facing either of those teams. That sounds a bit flippant for an England fan to say we're not worried about playing Brazil or Argentina, but I really think they're beatable.
We're talking with Alex Crook, Talk Sports chief football correspondent. He joins us via the Progressive guest line. Alex, we do have another game later tonight. Obviously, all the attention right now on Mexico, South Africa, but we'll get South Korea taking on the Czech Republic. What are you looking for in this game in the betting market?
Yeah, I think what you find from a lot of these World Cup openers, particularly when there's a chance three teams qualify, I think a lot of them will be quite cagey, quite a few of them end in draws. I don't see much between these two. I think they're pretty evenly matched. Chechia and obviously South Korea with the likes of Son, the former Tottenham captain, probably playing at his last World Cup, although he did say, didn't he, in a press conference yesterday, he's not necessarily said this is definitely his last World Cup. So I fancy the draw here at 12-5. I think that's a huge price, bearing in mind, as I say, I don't think there's too much between the two teams.
Let's move on to tomorrow. The U.S. opens play tomorrow night, hosting Paraguay. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, again, I think it's important for the tournament that the USA get off to a winning start, because I think then your fans will really start to get behind the team. I know there's not been a lot of love for Mauricio Pochettino so far, but I think this is a very winnable fixture for the USA. And if they do win it, and if they do progress into the knockout rounds and maybe beyond, I think Christian Pulisic is going to have a huge role to play. Someone that we know well over in England from his time at Chelsea. Someone who I think is attracting interest from some top clubs this summer. So my prediction for this game is Christian Pulisic to score at any time, which is around about the 2-1 mark. And I think the USA will get off to a winning start.
Well, we got about a minute left with you, Alex. The other game on Friday you're taking a look at is Canada and Bosnia, and you're looking at the total on this one.
Yes, it's an intriguing matchup, I think. Again, you know, a host nation looking to get off to a winning start. Jesse Marsh, someone who was a bit derided, actually, by the time he ended his career in England with Leeds United, but has obviously rebuilt his reputation with Canada. Bosnia coming through the playoffs to qualify for the World Cup. There's going to be a lot of players bidding farewell to the international stage. Edin Dzeko, very much one of those. So I hope, from his point of view, he can have a good tournament. Don't see a lot of goals in this one. Canada are pretty solid defensively. They don't score many. And Bosnia really ground their way to victory against Northern Ireland and Italy in those playoffs. So my tip here is a short price, only 4-6, but I've gone under 2.5 goals. Wouldn't surprise me if this ended 0-0.
Awesome stuff from our guy, Alex Crook. Again, you can catch him over at TalkSport, chief football correspondent. Find him on Twitter on X at Alex_Crook. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy the opening matches today, the entire World Cup. Enjoy your time in the United States. Really appreciate the time, Alex.
No worries. Look forward to the games getting underway and speaking to you guys soon.
No question. Alex Crook, everybody. Great stuff from the TalkSport chief football correspondent. Jeff, we've saved about a minute here to get to our best bets of the night. No basketball on the slate, no NBA until Saturday. So you know what that means. I'm going to Major League Baseball. I'm going to give you Matt Olson two plus hits, plus runs, plus RBI tonight against the White Sox. Anthony Kay on the hill. He got roughed up by the Phillies last time out. 18 hits allowed by Kay over his last three outings. Braves offense has slumped a little bit. They've dropped the first two in this series, scored only one run last night. I think we see that offense break back out tonight. Matt Olson, by the way, did have two homers in the opener of this series on Tuesday. What do you got for your best bet?
My best bet is that Jack Caglione over 2.5 total bases plus 191 at DK. Like you, you could also explore the hits plus run plus RBI market. I just saw the bigger payout here. If you do hits plus runs plus run RBI, it's plus 131. I like that market quite a bit. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this Royals game against the Rangers.
There we have it. Got three games still in action in Major League Baseball. No score changes in any of those. We are in a rain delay, by the way, to begin the Rangers-Royals game. So keep an eye on an updated start time for that one. Enjoy the opening day of the World Cup. We'll have recaps coming for you on Friday's show. Money Moves, Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. You're watching VSiN.